guten Morgen jeden Morgen? Selbstverständlich. Immer einen Parkplatz finden? Selbstverständlich. Nachrichten um 8? Selbstverständlich. Immer eine günstige Tankstelle finden? Selbstverständlich. Gürkchen auf dem Burger? Selbstverständlich. Einfach um den Stau herumfahren? Selbstverständlich.
Das neue Selbstverständlich. Skoda Connect. Infocall, Parkplatzsuche und viele weitere Online-Funktionen. Jetzt selbstverständlich. Mehr auf skoda.de oder bei Ihrem Skoda-Partner. Jetzt mit Skoda Connect ein von 50 Alexa Echo Spots gewinnen. Einfach Probefahrt vereinbaren und teilnehmen. Alle Teilnahmebedingungen unter skoda.de/connect. Skoda. Simply clever.
The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is the Sports Kings. The Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Brought to you by The Dogwood in Midtown Houston. In Midtown Houston. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Mean Gene the Sports Machine, David Ramone, and the Sports Queen, Dolores Lozano.
Well, welcome to the second hour of the Sports Kings. We hope you enjoyed the first hour. The Queen is not with us tonight. She's enjoying a much-deserved day. Also, it's just David, myself, and our producer, Jose Portita. And first hour, interesting college football discussion. We want to thank our guest, Pete Futak, who brings it from college football news. I knew, you know, when you bring up football polls with Pete, man, he gets all excited, you know.
Well, no
polls matter
way.
Except his polls. And, I mean, but this early in the season, we shouldn't be talking polls anyway. Things are going to change, although I think that top five might stay the same, though.
Hey, Gene, I just want to say that all polls matter.
All polls do matter. Yeah, as long as Alabama's number one in the polls. So it looks like we got a score in the New York Jets-Cleveland Browns game. Isaiah Crowell gets into the end zone, and the Jets are up 7-0, and it looks like Tyrod Taylor's going to have a long night as the Jets' defense look like they might have showed up.
And this is the thing, too, because I think Jets, I'm not calling them frauds, but, of course, they had that really good week one defensive outing. Then I tried to pick them up for week two, but it didn't really swing my way. And you know what? I was really thinking of hopping right back on, and look at what they're doing today.
Well, you know, and they're not getting it done with the passing game, so I'm thinking that the Brown scouts were able to kind of key in on the success that Sam Donald has been having, putting up 300 yards there in a game for a rookie, young rookie. But also the one wide receiver that they got seems to be doing very well. Quincy is Anua. That's doing really, really great for the Jets, but we're not seeing much in the air tonight from Donald. He's only has 22 yards, 3 of 7, 22 yards. So, but Tyrod Taylor's having a rough one, 1 of 8 for 2 yards. Not a good start for the Cleveland Browns. But anyway, lots of NFL talk. We're going to look at some big games coming up this weekend as week 3 is already here, folks. The season will be gone before you know it. That's why you got to take 1 week at a time. You listen to the Sports Kings right here on SB Nation Radio.
Hey!
You're listening to the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio, brought to you by the Dogwood in Midtown Houston. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Mean Gene, David Ramone, and the sports queen, Dolores Lozano.
All right, we are back once again, the Sports Kings, without our queen tonight here on SB Nation Radio. We have NFL football game going on in Cleveland, Ohio. It's the Jets right now with a 7-0 lead, and they are in the second quarter, the early stages of the second quarter. So this segment here, we like to just kind of look at some things that are – this is where the season is building up to something. It's always building up to something. And despite what a lot of people think, you know, I don't know if how many people are actually watching games. I think the NFL ratings, depending on who you listen to, they could be up or down. But the performance on the field is up, actually, David. I mean, when you look at last week, Ben Roethlisberger, 452 yards passing, Kirk Cousins, 425-yard passing – and look at the unstoppable, unbelievable Ryan Fitzpatrick, who has thrown
season MVP.
MVP. Right now, if you, I mean, through 2 weeks, he has thrown for 400 plus. So that Monday night game is going to be exciting. Looking at Ben Roethlisberger and Ryan Fitzpatrick, but just those numbers alone, David. I mean, to have quarterbacks that just put up these ridiculous numbers in week two is exciting.
Of course. And also, I want to say, Gene, you're talking about anomalies and things that we're kind of seeing right now. I think also just for a couple teams out there that we expected, and you know, it's real early in the season, and you can't really just be griping about something that, you know, when you don't really have a big sample size. So off of two games, you can't really do too much. But as for the teams who don't even have a win, and one, of course, and I don't mean to pick on you, Gene, but but the Pittsburgh Steelers do, you know, kind of feel a certain way as of right now. And, you know, I asked you in the first hour, mm-hmm. I don't want to psychoanalyze all the people who are a part of the Steelers organization, because we can definitely feel that there's definitely more than what we know that's, you know, might be going on. But at the same time, like we were talking about, you know, if the record just looked a little bit different, I don't think we were having these same conversations, even if Le'Veon Bell is around. They don't really seem like a team that's going to really be getting down, you know, towards the season.
No.
You know, once the season gets rolling, because we all know everyone's demeanor. They all been here before. So to have this nonsense kind of happen in the beginning of the season, I don't see it carrying on too much, regardless, like we said, what happens to Le'Veon Bell.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I mean, it's just, you know, first of all, coming into a new season, you know, you're trying to shake off the old. You're trying to shake off the Jacksonville Jaguars stole the thunder from the Steelers last year. You already knew you had to face a New England. New England was going to be there. They made it to the Super Bowl. But for the Pittsburgh Steelers, there's other things that just gets in the way. And last year was the Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, this year, guess what? It's Le'Veon Bell. It's the defense. It's Antonio Brown. You know, it's just a couple of things. And you can't afford, and week one, it was the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
So you got these things. And some people will say, well, it happens early in the season. Maybe it's time to rebound. But I can just tell you right now, this is my opinion. I own it. There's nothing anybody can do or say about it. I saw a defense that looks like they're not good enough to get to the playoffs. And I think Bobby Beast was saying earlier before we got on the air that tie could very well, you know, come back to hurt the Steelers even in their own division. As, you know, you still got to play Baltimore, you still got to play Cincinnati, and they're doing well. But, hey, that's what happens. That's why they call it the NFL. And this goes to say that you look at the seven teams that are 2-0 right now, and it's 2-0, and no one's getting excited. But it means something, because 62% of the teams that start off 2-0, they have qualified for the postseason. So let's look at the Cincinnati Bengals, 2-0, the Denver Broncos, Jacksonville, KC, Los Angeles Rams, Miami, and Tampa Bay. You know, so, and then how about the four teams out there with a tie already through 2 weeks of the season? So this is what makes the NFL season so exciting. And unfortunately, you know, for Pittsburgh has a long way to go. That defense has to go up against Phillip Rivers. They got to go up against Andy Dalton. I mean, they got to go up against some pretty good.
It's really
Drew
weird.
Brees.
It's really weird that we're talking about Andy Dalton the way we used to, maybe like 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe it was last Thursday when I was just kind of talking mess about him, just because he's kind of been this guy that is this been kind of just there, right? Almost like a very Tannehill-ish, if you know, kind of Miami.
Funny you mentioned Tannehill right there. Well, Miami's 2-0.
And to be talking about in this way where they're pretty much just game managing. Yeah, they don't have to go for 300 yards a game, but at the same time, they know how to carry a game.
Well, speaking of not having to, you know, get 300 yards a game, because, you know, when you saw Big Ben putting up 452 yards against KC, well, KC's defense needs some work too. But I was so impressed with Patrick Mahomes, and I know I have said on this show that Patrick Mahomes is not a good quarterback. Patrick Mahomes, if you're listening, I take it back.
I think a lot of people this past couple weeks have been doing that.
I mean, this kid right here, he has 10 touchdown passes in 2 weeks. Now, I know this momentum is going to stop at some point, but what I saw, and everyone knows Andy Reid is a great quarterbacks coach, and how they manage the game for him. He's not putting himself in situations where he doesn't need to be in. And it shows. I mean, the Kansas City's defense is what they are. I mean, they let a team come back and put 21 points on them in the first quarter. So that's their defense, and they're going to have to, you know, fix their problems. But this quarterback, and you look at Kareem Hunt, you look at Tariq Hill. I mean, come on, this team has some offensive firepower in Kelce.
Yeah, and Gina, I was just going to mention the all the weapons that he has at his disposal. I mean, you talk about Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins as well, too. So, I mean,
not even using them that much.
Look at the guys that they have on the field to be with him. He was pretty much handed up. I mean, he's called Ferrari Holmes for a reason, but at the same time, just look about what he has on the field and the things that just kind of come just so easy to him just because of the people who are around him. So, I mean, when you really think about it, the things he has to worry about whenever he's going through his plays and progressions is just not getting sacked, making sure he knows where the line's at, and just looking downfield, because you just know that he can make those throws, or he's at least very capable. I know he threw
over. You talking about Mahomes?
Yeah. I know he overthrew Tyreek Hill like maybe one time, and that was probably like, you know,
him not a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, because you remember in the beginning of the season, it was all the picks that he was throwing. It was like he couldn't get on the same page with some of his receivers, and he's willing to make those mistakes, you know, in the beforehand, just to be able to get that concentration and be able to get that chemistry with his teammates. Just because he's making it look so easy now. I mean, I want to also bring up the Texans too, as well, because Deshaun Watson was on the same page last year. When you think about it, even though they're the same draft class,
because he's not a rookie, but he's pretty much a rookie.
Yeah, I mean, well, you think about Patrick Mahomes. At least he had a whole year to be behind Alex Smith and kind of be able to gauge information and kind of learn a different kind of way. As in for Watson, way more hands-on because he saw more field until he got hurt. At the same time, we're talking about these anomalies and things that just really are not or adding up and don't add up. Mm-hmm. Texans at 0-2 kind of feels really strange, especially when you talk about the guys who they have on the field, both on offense and on defense.
Well, game film is one of those things. You know, I tell people there's always somebody watching you in the NFL. I mean, especially if you're an offensive player, quarterback, whatever. I mean, these guys spend a lot of time in the film room watching. You know, the same thing that's happening with Dak Prescott and a lot of these quarterbacks that had, you know, fantastic first years. Cam Newton had enjoyed that same success a while back. But once these guys get to studying and following you and looking at the game film, you're just not going to be as good. There's great players coming out of college every year going into the NFL. But one thing I will say about Patrick Mahomes, I heard some great things about him as a person, very respectful guy, his parents. Some friends of mine actually sat right next to his parents at the game. Now, let me tell you this, though,
Jose.
Of course. To add injury to insult, now,
insult,
I mean,
injury.
Is it, which one? What did I say?
Injury to insult.
What the hell?
Insult to injury is a correct phrasing.
I said to add insult to injury. That's because I was already hurt. And then I insult. Well, y'all just let me see what the hell what I'm trying to say.
Injury to insult.
So anyway, after the game, so the Steelers lose the game, right? And then
they lost this weekend?
Okay,
I didn't know that.
Just stop, Jose. Just stop. Then I find out I'm staying at the hotel that the Chiefs stayed in.
Oh, no.
I'm like, what the hell? I tried to get out of there and I couldn't.
You didn't go find Patrick Mahomes?
No,
Travis
I wasn't
Kelce?
Looking. Yeah.
No?
Look, if I knew I was staying in a hotel, I would have pulled the fire alarm at 2 in the morning and make sure that they didn't get any sleep. If I knew that was going to happen,
you wouldn't
Sunday.
Have been back for today's show, though.
Well, possibly not.
Somebody would have paid my posted my bill, I'm sure. So, but anyway, but no, just a great. I can't take nothing from this team. They're 2-0. I had my eyes on the Chargers in that division, and man, I cannot wait to, you know, for these two teams to get it on and seeing to see what Phillip Rivers is going to do when they match up.
And also, Gene, like I was just saying, two games is not the biggest sample size, regardless of him throwing 10 touchdown passes. And, yeah, I think it's still something to look forward to. There's a lot to build on. At the same time, we don't know what's going to happen for the rest of the season.
No, we don't. But just keep that stat in mind that, you know, teams that start out 2-0 with 62% have a 62% chance of qualifying for the postseason. That means a lot for teams that didn't make the postseason last year, and there was quite a few of them. So, I know we got some in the next segment. We're going to talk about some matchups and some great matchups coming up with some big time games, some meaningful games. So stick around, folks. You're listening to the Sports Kings right here on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio, brought to you by the Dogwood in Midtown Houston. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Mean Gene, David Ramone, and the sports queen, Dolores Lozano.
All right, David, this weekend we will get a chance to see two first-year head coaches face off against their former teams, and I'm talking about Detroit's Matt Patricia and Indianapolis' Frank Reich will face their former teams as the Lions welcome the New England Patriots to Ford Field. That's your Sunday night game on NBC. And the Colts will travel to Philly to take on the Eagles. As you know, that's where Frank Reich came from. So let's take a look at the Matt Patricia game. The Patriots, who, by the way, they did lose to Jacksonville last week. 31-20. Game really wasn't that close in the first half. New England always kind of make things happen late. So you find yourself trying to play not to lose a game instead of playing to win. But Detroit, so both teams coming off losses. The 49ers beat the Detroit Lions. So here we go. Matt Patricia versus his boss, Bill Belichick. What do you got?
I wouldn't go ahead and just say his boss.
His former boss.
Former boss.
Yeah. I should have.
But at the same time, I dig what you're saying just because that's just the aura that he kind of just blasts out there, right? Like, he's just like this all-knowing, at all times, this is ahead of the game. When it comes to Matt Patricia, I kind of feel that, you know, at least in the Detroit area, they're not worried, but at the same time, it's just something to look at that wasn't what they expected, I guess, so early into the season. But to be honest, I think I feel that he needs to go over some things and you're going to have your good and your bad times, especially when it's your first year, whenever you're at the helm. You're going to look at things, situations very different. I mean, after 2 weeks, I think he got he dipped his toe very much into the water.
Yeah.
But now he's definitely getting submerged in it. And I think this is the perfect way because him coming from New England, he definitely knows a lot of things. And it's not like they're going to keep a lot of things from the same from last year because I know they're going to switch things up, different right. play calls, and, you know, not trying to confuse him or anything, but get it to the point where he's not going to be so convenient and just calm and also knowing of what they'll be able to do. At the same time, yes, he was in that organization. I don't think he's looking at this game as something to really shoot for, meaning as, like, you know, to get this win and to use it in a certain catalyst to jump, to really make Detroit season jump. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think he's still looking at this game as a very winnable game just for him, because whenever we look at this Patriots team, still vulnerable. Mm-hmm. When you look at that loss last week from Jacksonville, they really stuck it to him. I mean, they just hit him where it hurt. I think that Texans game, I'm not calling it a fluke, but at the same time, I kind of feel that both of those teams were still, you know, working the kinks out. It was a really hard game until the end. That Jacksonville game, they just really knocked them on their butt.
Yeah, yeah, man.
I mean, they really weren't scared to really hit them where it hurt. You saw whenever people were coming off the line, and I guess the really things that stand out from last week's game is how Gronk wasn't as effective as he usually is. They were jamming him a lot more. There was just a lot more man-to-man, a lot more, you know, stronger defense, but mm-hmm. I don't think Detroit is really geared just yet. I think they're still working a lot of stuff out. I think Matthew Stafford is still trying to find out a lot
it
more stuff of what
like,
he has.
But he's
around
still
him.
Putting up 300. You know, they lose a game, 347 yards, three touchdowns. you know, last week against the 49ers. The offense is there. I mean, they're putting up 383 yards of offense through two games.
This is the thing, though, Gene. Like, he still has another rookie, Kerryon Johnson, as a running back.
Yeah.
I think he still, even though, because this is the thing.
I know,
Gene,
it's a different.
You remember that first week, how many picks he threw?
Yeah.
We always know that he's pretty much Phillip Rivers 2.0. He doesn't care how down he gets, especially when it comes to stats. He's going to keep on throwing the ball and really be confident. And regardless of him having 300, 400, even 500 yards passing, if it got to that point, I still feel that there's still better ways for him to be able to get this. And, yeah, the defense is going to have to show up. Does it really help him out on that side?
Here's a good thing. I mean, we talk about Matt Patricia. He spent 14 years there, 14 seasons with New England, and those the last six of his – 14 years he was the defensive coordinator. So I'm thinking they're going to play a more, conservative game.
Oh, very.
He's going to,
they want to cut the mistakes down.
Right. He's going to see what – and New England's given up a lot of yards on defense. So, I mean, the game is there. The fact that it's a home game, I'm looking for Matthew Stafford to come out of his shell and get things done. So, I mean, hey, it's the Patriots, okay? So they have won the past four meetings against the Detroit Lions, and so let's see if Matt Patricia makes a difference as a head coach there. How about the other game, though? So we get to see the Indianapolis Colts will travel to Philly, and when I say Philadelphia's pissed off. It's nothing like coming back after, you win the Super Bowl, and I know that they are trying to figure out what is going on. They face Ryan Fitzpatrick, so, they lose the game 27-21 last week, whereas the Colts are coming off a win against the Redskins. They win 21-9. So Frank Reich goes against his former boss, Doug Peterson.
The battle of the bosses.
Battle of the bosses.
And this is a game I'm trying to gauge. Again, not a big sample size. I'm still, really getting into what Andrew Luck are we going to see continuing this season. Mm-hmm. So far, I don't think anyone can really complain with his progress so far, just because we don't really 100% understand what he's been going through for the last, year and a half, just about. It's going to be a pretty interesting game because, like you said, Philadelphia's really pissed off. I'm pretty sure Fletcher Cox is going to be able to motivate the defense and be able to get in there. And also, I want to see that, too. Because we already seen it once. I think it was either last week or the week before how Andrew Luck when he got sacked, he kind of fell on that shoulder. But he's honestly able to, get back up and just get right back to the huddle. We don't really see those little things that we're kind of worried about him re-aggravating any shoulder injury or anything. So I think, from the Colts standpoint, it's looking good for them. At least, there's really no kinks. I think you're going to still have that, I wouldn't call it a hangover, because I kind of feel like they've been having a hangover for the last couple of years.
Who are you talking about? The Colts?
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be a great matchup here, believe it or not, because here's the thing, too. Did I not mention that Carson Wentz is going to start this game?
Yeah.
So
that's the
I think
I haven't got to yet. Yeah.
I think they've seen enough of Nick Foles here. And I mean, and don't blink, because Tampa Bay is a good team, folks. But never could understand why Ryan Fitzpatrick couldn't keep a job on the NFL team. But maybe he likes playing the role that he's playing. But hey, you're gonna have two good quarterbacks. Andrew Luck, you got two quarterbacks with something to prove here. You got Andrew Luck, who's still trying to get something done. He's still trying to prove himself, having had a lot of play over the last couple of a year and a half or so. And then you got Carson Wentz coming back from that injury. He was not your Super Bowl MVP. Nick Foles were. So
what would be a good way to gauge how Carson Wentz's performance is, Gene? Like, what are you able to see, or what do you want to see from him, and you can kind of take away from this game and be like, wow, that was a good game by him? What are the couple of things that he's going to have to do? Of course, I'm not just saying not turning the ball over, but as for progressions and movement whenever he's playing.
Well, come on. Anytime you get these quarterbacks, just like any quarterback that you've seen come back after an injury, I mean, you're looking at sometimes they drop back and throw that ball down the field 80 yards just to throw defenses off. But, I mean, I think this guy's going to be very conservative. I think Peterson, I think that whole organization don't want to take any chances with Carson Wentz, and we're going to see a much conservative offense.
Would you say a lot of Jay Ajayi and
Corey
Clement?
Yeah, I say a lot of – yeah, I mean, because both of these guys, Corey Clement and Jay Ajayi, are playing real good as well. They – they're actually running the ball well. So why would you force anything when you got two good running backs?
Sure. Well, who you got this win? Who you got winning though, Gene?
You know what? I think Philadelphia is gonna have to, you know, shake off the, you know, that crowd, Philadelphia fans are the worst NFL fans. They are brutal.
Whoa,
they are
brutally honest. Behind Cowboy fans.
No, I think the Eagles fans. Anyone will tell you.
No, see, they're just honest. They're just
well, I mean, but, you know, they don't have a lot of room for BS. Okay, they will tell you, you know, this is the Eagles fans, they booed Santa Claus.
I got a question. How much more exciting would this game have been if Baker Mayfield was starting?
Oh, this game here, the one that's 14-0?
To Rod.
I think it would be, we might see
as well as the hype going into the game and everything.
You might see it in the second half.
Did just you, think of the billing before this game, the first overall pick versus the third. Like,
yeah.
Did you see the Correll flag for?
I just saw Tyrod throw the ball into the end zone where nobody was there.
Nobody.
I just saw that a little earlier
on Correll's second touchdown. He faced his bottom towards the crowd and wiped his butt with the ball.
Oh yeah,
that might be a fine from the league office.
They got a flag though, so I mean it was the more excessive type of celebration. But I mean he's adding insult to injury to insult.
You messing with me, Jose? Here's the thing: don't rule it out yet because these are the games where the setup is happening. Tyrod Taylor would have nobody to blame but himself. Baker Mayfield comes out there; you can change this game around. So anyway, hey, it's NFL. Talk here on the Sports King Show, and then I think next segment is it Thoughts and Opinions coming up.
Oh, that's next?
Hey. Yeah, Thoughts and Opinions coming up in the next segment. You listen to the Sports Kings here on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio, brought to you by the Dogwood in Midtown Houston. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's Mean Gene, David Ramone, and the sports queen, Dolores Lozano.
All right, guys, I know. You are disappointed that the queen is not here tonight.
Oh, she's not?
She will be back. No, she's not. She will be back next week, and she will entertain, as she always does. So here's the deal. All right, Jose, you might be on to something. Because we were talking here during the break, even before the break, that this is one of those games where the Cleveland Browns are really seeing how bad they are this early in the season. They're looking for a win, okay? They are looking at trying to get a return on their investment, although a rookie, Baker Mayfield, right now would make this game exciting to go up against Sam Darnold. And right now it's 14-0. I think we see a change at the half. I wouldn't be surprised to see Mayfield starting the game.
Especially when the game is not, you know, so far away. You might think to yourself that if you have a chance of winning that, yeah, you keep Tyrod Taylor in there so he can create a little bit something. But as of right now, I mean, the whole half kind of speaks for itself.
And it must be, like, really frustrating for the Browns as an organization, seeing these how both of these first two games have gone, where you realistically, you could be 2-0 right now.
Could be. Yeah, you really could be. So, anyway, we shall see here.
He's on the phone. The man is on the phone.
Baker Mayfield.
Baker so, watch.
Hey, I mean, it could be happening
right
here.
We're on Baker watch for the last 20 minutes of the show.
Okay. Hey, so the L.A. Chargers will travel to Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum to face the Rams. Okay, this is going to be a Sunday afternoon game. And this is going to be the first matchup between two L.A. teams since November 13th. 1994. How old were you?
Woo! So 94. I was
November
13.
You were three, Jose?
November 13, 1994?
Yes.
I was six months and 10 days old.
Oh, woo! My goodness.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, you were still being nursed, but this guy was getting
so was David.
David
quite
was
possibly.
Getting spankings almost.
Quite possibly.
Well, anyway, so this is pretty cool here because right now where the Chargers play their games, I think the Chargers are actually – this is going to be the shortest commute to a game. I think the Chargers are going to be less than 10 miles away from the LA.
Not as short
Memorial.
As TSU U of H.
But. No. That's going to be very short right there. So anyway, this is going to be interesting. So the last time the Raiders was the other team that played the Rams, and the Rams won 20-17 at Anaheim Stadium where the Angels play. So real quick before we get into thoughts and opinions, this is going to be a pretty good game. Phillip Rivers and Jared Goff, this is really going to be a good game in Los Angeles.
I would say call it a shootout. At the same time, I was really expecting the Rams defense to be a little bit, I guess, more determined so far this year. But, like, you know, I've been saying this the whole show, not a big sample size. I still think they were able to stop Phillip Rivers. But we all know what Phillip Rivers' MO is, regardless of how many or what he does on the field, he's going to keep throwing the ball and be confident about it. So it just depends what Phillip Rivers winds up on the field. But I feel this defense can contain it. And I think this is going to be a good week for them. So I'm going to go with the Rams.
You going with the Rams? I mean, come on. Look at the names. But look at the marquee. Melvin Gordon.
Week one told me not to really get it too hyped up just a little bit. So I understand that, like I said, not a big sample size. The first week, a lot of these guys were still playing, or 2 weeks, you know, they were still playing. They're still getting the wins, and that's the most important, unless they handled Arizona last week. At the same time, I think they can still do a lot better, and that's the scary part.
Well, hey, I mean, come on. You got two of the best running backs in football, Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon going against each other. How about Brandon Cooks, Keenan Allen? This is an all-star billing here of some of the greatest players, Aaron Donald.
And it's an afternoon game. So, I mean, what, two games going on during the afternoon? So, I mean, it's a big
time. It's
going to
be great. It's going to be great. So, I'm going to take the Chargers, actually, to knock off the Rams, make this season even more interesting. So, this is the part of the show where we sort of like to break things down.
The quiet storm.
The quiet storm, man. Was Bobby trying to... Baker Mayfield is on the field.
Baker.
They didn't even wait.
Well, Tyrod went into the tent.
We don't even have to do thoughts and opinions.
He's not coming.
Let's just do Baker watch.
All right, Baker watch. Baker.
So, let's go, baby.
So, okay, if he's going...
First pass is a first down to Jarvis
you guys,
Landry.
Come
wow.
on. Hey, no cheering in the press box, okay? So here's the deal. All right, this is the part of the show where we take some of the week's best sound bites, sports sound bites, and we play them, and we give our opinions and thoughts on them. So, Jose, break down the music, man. Yeah. All right.
Two for two on Baker Watch.
Okay, in the hurry-up offense.
And two first downs.
That don't sound good, the sexy voice calling the two-minute huddle. That didn't sound good at all. All right, we are ready for our first one.
Hey, little one, you got a lot of talent, kid. You got a lot of talent. And I hope you have a good year. I hope somewhere you can find some heart and find some passion for the game and have a good year. I really wish you the best. Oh, I'm 40. Thank God I'm happy to see 40. Bum, I never been that. You know that. I'm from the old school, bro. I'm cut under the old law. You know what I'm saying? Respect it or check it. All that. I'm going to have that same energy wherever I go, all that. Say, man, make sure your energy straight when you see me, bro. All right? I'm pretty sure you know who I am. Make sure your energy straight. Just focus on finding some heart and having a good year. I wish you the best. You got a lot of talent. Just find that. Please don't try to do that with me, bro. You know what I'm saying? Just keep that same energy. I'll catch you in traffic. 100.
Ooh. Wow.
Oh my
hey, look
God.
Here, man. I don't want to be part of no investigation or nothing. What was Steven Jackson talking about?
Well, Gene, since you're not aware on the Twitterverse.
Well, Gene's not on IG, I don't think, is he?
Yeah, no, either.
No, y'all got to tell me what this is all about.
So,
here.
Steven Jackson sent out a video of him of how, if he was Wiggins, how he would approach the situation. Right, Jose? Is that
situation? Something?
Yeah.
The whole, you know, Jimmy Butler leaving, you know, the Timberwolves.
Oh, gotcha.
I
know about that.
Yeah, okay. So he kind of felt that Andrew Wiggins should have took a different, you know, perspective, you know, coming from that. So he kind of, you know, let out his opinions about it. And Wiggins kind of threw a shot that was definitely gauged to Steven Jackson. Steven Jackson saw it. So Steven Jackson spoke on it. And this is the thing. Steven Jackson, everything he said is 100% true. He's from Port Arthur, Texas. He's one of the guys that started this prep school. So I wouldn't say start, but I mean, he's more into the game than a lot of people would understand and know. I know Wiggins comes from Canada, and he's one of those big time prep guys that went to Kansas, and we all know, you know,
his father played in the NBA.
Exactly. Right. So, I mean, kind of, you know, somewhat, I guess, coming up in the same basketball lifestyle. Mm-hmm. At the same time, Steven Jackson, like I said, Port Arthur, Texas, he's been through a lot. He's seen a lot of things. We all remember Malice in the Palace, but even though, regardless of all that happening to him, Steven Jackson is one of the most coolest guys. I mean, I got to, you know, say a few words to him during the, you know, Big Three and everything. And to be quite honest, he's so humble. He's very smart when it comes to a lot of this stuff. And he's exactly right when he's talking about all this, because he's not down with this new school, little kid, same energy, blah, blah, blah. Steven Jackson. If you want to talk that hot stuff, well, Steven Jackson going to see you. And okay. you're going to have to nothing but to actually present yourself, and you're going to have to speak to this man, because he's not going to be scared of whatever you're going to be throwing at him.
Yeah, but I think it's all about nothing. What's his name?
Wiggins. Yeah, Wiggins.
Wiggins had every right to express his concerns, you know, regarding Jimmy Butler not wanting to play there anymore in Minnesota. So what does Steven Jackson have to do with this?
But this is the thing, Gene. Like, I kind of felt that what Steven Jackson said really wasn't even a bad thing. He is kind of felt that he would approach the situation different and kind of spoke on that of how he would approach the situation.
That's him.
But that's the thing. Like, yeah, I mean, he was really doing his job, because, I mean, he's now a person of the media. A lot of people seek out his information and seek out his opinion about it. So I don't even think that he was even overstepping any type of boundaries whenever he was speaking on that. But for Wiggins to kind of go into this, like, yo, like, you know, I guess, you know, being really uptight about it and kind of like throwing out there that, you know, keep that same energy stuff. Yo, man, like, this is something you're not about to tell an OG, and he really should have respected what he said. And to be quite honest, he should have been looking at this whole situation all differently, because now the NBA is at a point where it kind of sucks that we know too much, because only Lord knows what could have been said or what could have been done if there was social media back then. Even if we look back in the mid-90s, even the mid-2000s, whenever, like, the beat writers were still, like, our number one sources for a lot of these things. At the same time, yeah, there's a lot more to be said now. And if you want to put out your opinion out there, you got to be able to withstand and be able to take that back. Or at least take that information.
It's hard to find a great one. It's hard to find a good one. It's hard to find one. You just said it. You know, college football now, they're not really dropping back to pass and throwing footballs anymore. They're throwing laterals and off screens, and they're running read options. So you got to train these guys. It takes a little bit of time to learn how to rush the passer. And we got some guys that are in that process right now.
I'm not sure. And this is a thing. Yeah. They made a really big mistake, you know, the start of this season, by letting Mac go and doing a trade and everything. And now they're in a spot where that's where they're lacking. I'm not sure how much they're really going to take on whenever, you know, drafting Arden Key. And maybe he was going to be one of those guys to kind of fill in that spot, but he's still a rookie. Of course it's going to be really hard. Of course it's going to be difficult. I'm not sure if they're maybe trying to get a high first round pick to maybe get Ed Oliver too, to also, you know, back that up. But whenever you had a guy in Khalil Mack, that's a once in a, you know, once every 15, 20 years guy that you can put him in different positions and him to be so effective while doing that. So I don't feel bad for the Raiders. I don't think no one should. I think they know what they did. They know what they got, and they didn't want to pay the man, so they went with the best way that they can do going forward. So, I mean, they reap what they sow.
Pretty much.
Good analysis.
I'm ready for the next one.
Absolutely, it's fun. You know, I don't take this game for granted. It's a blessing to play it. You know, obviously I'm grateful to play for this organization. You know, I don't take it for granted. But losing is not fun. When you lose, it's not fun. You know, you got people say everything about you. You got the hate. You got the write-ups. You got the bad looks. You know, I'm a guy who take this serious. So when I go home, I evaluate my performance. I evaluate what I'm doing. And, you know, you got to make this game fun.
Well, Antonio Brown, I tell you what. You will get a chance to evaluate all of that come Monday night when you go to Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. I understand, AB. I get it, but at the same time, you know, kind of sound like Dez Bryant there. I mean, because how many times have we used to hear Dez Bryant would always give a reason, you know, I'm just emotional and I'm like that. But that's all fine and dandy when you're winning. When you are winning, people don't really look at your behavior and this, that, and the other on the field. They just know that you're winning. So we've seen Antonio Brown kick over Gatorade buckets now. We've seen a whole lot of stuff. And I just hope that for his sake and all the Steeler Nation that the action needs to be done on the field. And that's what a lot of these young players don't really understand today, is that sometimes you have to play for the name in front of your jersey and not the one on the back of your jersey. And that came from the great Tommy Lasorda.
because it's not about that. It doesn't. It's not about any of those guys. It's about who's going to go out there and win the game. And sometimes I'm just not really into this. You know, you shouldn't be apologizing. You shouldn't be apologizing. Just go out there and win. Go out there and win the game. If you're not getting the ball, that doesn't mean you can't help your team win the damn game. And that's what you need to do. So let's see, because I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to bring the heat Monday night.
He is MVP. They are calling him MVP.
You got him MVP for, hey, I mean, come on. Lock it in. And why this guy cannot keep a job in the NFL, it's besides me. Ryan Fitzpatrick. Did you see the way he was dressed? Did you see his post game?
I think his job, his time at the Jets tarnished that, right?
Well, Gene.
Why he can't keep a job.
Well, Gene. I mean, this is a whole nother person. This is not even the same guy that we used to know. This is not the guy who used to play for the Texans or used to play for the 15 other franchises.
Give up on him too soon.
And it's not even that, Gene. I really don't even believe it was that. It was each team kind of found its niche and kind of found to the word. Because was the Texans his last team that he was beforehand? Or was it the
Jets? He's been all over in his short career.
I think it was the Jets, too. Jets. And but look at each team that they're
Buffalo
all,
Bills.
All in a market for what? Drafting a quarterback. And that's what they did. And that was so happened to be the person that had to be the guy to get over their hump because they already had that negative way going down. And think about it. He wasn't going into this season thinking that he was going to be a starter. It so happened the situations that came at hand. Of course, he knows what to do on the field. He made the best of it. That's what he did.
All right, good luck, Crab Legs, trying to get your job back. All right, folks. Jose, good job there. Thoughts and opinions. When we come back, we will wrap up the entire show. You're listening to the Sports Kings here on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio, brought to you by the Dogwood in Midtown Houston. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's Mean Gene, David Ramone, and the sports queen, Dolores Lozano.
All right, we hope you have enjoyed the show. It's been a great experience, as it always is, especially when we have our the top producer here at SB Nation Radio, Jose Portita, who is always in control of things. He didn't have to fuss at us that much tonight.
I like today. Good show tonight, guys.
I like the way you give him a compliment. He has that real big smirk that he doesn't want to show, but he's just trying to keep it professional.
So we want to thank our guest, Pete Futek from College Football News, for coming on and disagreeing with all of the AP and coaches' polls. We'll get Pete back on in a couple of weeks to follow up and see where he has things. But Jose, I'm looking at our fantasy football thing here. I am beating David by a score of 5.20.